Open up first and turn your Bibles with me and to Galatians chapter 6 before we get into our text this morning. Here's what the Lord is speaking to my heart about. Many times in the body of Christ, when brothers and sisters are going through storms in their lives, there's a tendency to feel that you did something wrong and God is allowing this to happen to you because you did something wrong. That's one of the biggest lies of the adversary. Amen. Because we live in a world that's of darkness and we walk in light and there's adversity as children of God. But the Apostle Paul encourages us in Galatians 6, verse number 9. He said, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Now I encourage you, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to have a back to school celebration picnic on the 22nd. Invite some people out. There are people going to need encouragement. Families need encouragement. How many know it's a hard time that we're living in? How many know with all the things that are changing, amen, that we're facing things, but God says that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So our text today is found in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning to read with verse 12. The Apostle Peter says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" And here's where I want to focus your attention today. Verse 19, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator." The title of this message today is Doing Well When Facing Hell. Amen. I was reminded when I thought of that title and the Lord gave me that title, I was thinking about the old song that Carmen used to say. He says, "When you're going through hell, don't stop. Move ahead, move ahead, move ahead." Amen. So there's three things I want to share with you today out of this context or this text today. One, the sufferings. Two, the surrendering. And three, the sustaining. Let's ask God's blessing upon the preaching and teaching of his word. Father, we're so grateful for your word, and we're grateful that you sent it here to accomplish something in every heart and every life, Father God. Lord, I pray that you speak through me today. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to the hearers. Father God, may they hear from you and not from me. And as your word goes forth today, may it accomplish what you sent it here and on the website to do. And when all is said and done, all glory, honor, and praise will be unto you. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing us this day In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So the first thing he wanted to speak to us about is the sufferings as a child of God. Amen. If you look with me in Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, verse number 16. The Word of God says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Look at the one next to you and say, "The suffering will pass, and God will be glorified." Amen. God is glorified when we continue to do well, even in the midst of adversity. Amen. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 24. The Word of God says, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." The psalmist said, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." Amen. So look at the one next to you and say, "The Lord says, in this world, we will suffer for his name's sake. But be of good cheer. He has overcome the world." Since he has overcome the world, we can overcome the adversity. "No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up, we shall condemn." Hallelujah. Amen. And if faith come, if by hearing and hearing by the word of God, as you're speaking this word, why do you think God wants you to talk? Because as you speak it, you hear it. As you hear it, you receive it. As you receive it, you are strengthened in his power and his might. Amen. Amen. God wants you to know that all things are working together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So no matter what it feels like, no matter what it seems like, God says you're benefiting and other are benefiting from what you're going through. When you go through it with joy in your heart and peace in your mind, the world is wondering what's going on with you. Amen. You know, we're in the last days and we're going to face some things. Amen. We're going to face some things as a body of Christ. You know, it was kind of interesting. I was showing the sharing with the sister this morning. You know, sometimes when you're going through and you get a certain age, I'm getting up around that age, you know. I'm a day old. Hallelujah. And you get up around that age and you're looking at ministry and you're looking at things. You say, "Lord, did I miss you somewhere? And what did I do? Am I supposed to do something else? Or where am I missing you?" Does that happen to anybody else besides me? And the Lord just reminded me of something. He said, "Son, do you remember all of the houses that I gave to this ministry to build this place that I called? That the transfers of houses and all the houses that came and were sold to build what God's going to do? You think that God doesn't love you so much that he did not provide and that God said he was going to do some things that he's not going to do? Amen. He's not a man that he should lie. When God says it, he's going to do it." So he tells us to be of good cheer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like as a pastor, you know, hey, I can say, "Hey, I miss everybody today," but you know what? A lot of these people today are spending some really good quality time with their families. While I'm thinking about this, let's extend our hands towards Broadway, because in the morning, the Phillips family is going on an adventure. They're going on a trip to California. It's going to be a 3-week venture with 7 children. It's a trip, right? Amen. So, Father, we send the word today to the Phillips family, Father God. We pray for you to watch over each and every one. We pray for J.O. and his children, Father God, and the ones that he's moving out with Mel and Jody, that they're moving out to California, Father God. And I pray for Amber and Jonathan that are part of this body, Father God. I pray divine favor upon them. I pray for you to overshadow them, to protect them, Father God. Give them traveling mercies on the highway, Father God. And I pray for good attitudes for the children, Father God. May the children have an attitude of gratitude. I will never cease to give you praise for all you've done and all you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, the Apostle Peter says in verse number 19, he says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. In everything, give thanks, because that is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us." Amen. So God's called for us to do well, even when facing it hell. Amen. Amen. Secondly, what he was speaking to my heart about, for us to have an attitude of gratitude and a good mindset in the face of adversity, the Lord spoke to my heart about the surrendering. The surrendering. The psalmist says in Psalms 31, how many know you could find a psalm to say just about anything you need to get a hold of? Amen. The psalmist writes in Psalms 31, verse number 1. He says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in my righteousness, in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my God and my fortress, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." When I was looking at that, the Lord is saying that we need to surrender the battle to the Lord. He says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And when we're facing the storms as the righteous storms, if we don't have a heart of gratitude, God's going to let us keep on facing that storm. Hello? You know, I was thinking about my wife and my lover, my best friend. With 44 years with me, she's got all kinds of rewards for her patience. The trial of your faith work in patience, and patience brings us experience, and experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Thank you, honey. Amen. So in 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse number 12, the Apostle Paul is writing to his student Timothy. He says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." Amen. Man, I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I thank God for my helper. I thank God that he's my very present help in time of need. Amen. So in other words, when we're praying and we're facing things as a child of God, the Lord is saying, it isn't going to hurt you and I. Get cold. It is going to hurt you and I to have an attitude of gratitude and stop going to asking what you did wrong, because it's not always about what we did wrong when we're facing suffering, when we're suffering. God says he will sustain us, and the sustaining in 1 Peter chapter 2 again, verse number 21. The Apostle Paul, Peter says this. He said, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Who are we following? We're surrendering to Jesus. If Jesus suffered wrongfully, what makes you and I think that we will not suffer wrongfully if we're following the one that suffered wrongfully? All right? Are you hearing what the Lord's saying today? The Lord wants you to be encouraged today. He wants you to be strengthened in his power and might to recognize that what you're going through isn't because of something you have done, or it's because of the who you're fighting against and what God has called you to do. Amen. He says, Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. What the Lord was saying to me is this. He said, hey, when doing well, when you're facing hell, there will be some suffering as children of God. But there will be the surrendering. We have to surrender not our will, but God's will be done. What is it? It's a model prayer. So Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So we're submitting it to the will of God. We're surrendering to his will. And as we surrender to his will, there will be the sustaining. You know, God is faithful. God is faithful. God has been faithful to you in the past. He will be faithful to you in the present. And he will be faithful to you in the future. You know, I was reminded in 1 Kings chapter 8, we have Solomon. Verse number 56. He says, "Blessed be the Lord that have given rest unto his people Israel. According to all he had promised, there have not failed one word of all of his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant." God says, when you're going through the suffering, Surrender it to me, and I will sustain you. I will keep you. I will watch over you. I will hold you in the right hand of my righteousness, says the Lord God. Amen. Amen. You know, in this nation and in this world right now, and as we're coming into the end times, there's going to be storms facing the body of Christ. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Don't give up. Stand strong. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. He who's begun a good work in you is faithful to see it through to its finish. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. We constantly need to remind ourselves of these things. The psalmist said in Psalms 89, speaking of faithfulness of God. Verse number one, he said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. With my mouth. With my mouth. With my mouth. With my mouth. God wants to get it out of there. With my mouth. It's all of a sudden when I'm thinking and speaking about God's faithfulness, not only am I speaking to others, but I'm hearing it, and faith is growing inside of me too. Amen. My faith is being stronger and stronger and stronger. Amen. I love reading the Word of God. If you were to talk to my wife, or probably listen to Katrina, she's downstairs, she'll probably tell you, I read the Word of God. I read the Word of God. I speak it. I hear it. And it becomes. All of a sudden, faith starts increasing so I can start speaking to some things in the natural I couldn't face. But in the spirit, I have all power and authority. Every name named in the name of Jesus, named in this world, must bow to the name of Jesus. Amen. He says, I'll make known your faithfulness to all generations, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. Amen. You know, you don't have to look very far for the faithfulness of God. Is when you wake up in the morning. How many get up in the morning? How many witness the sun rising? Anybody witness the sun rising? Amen. How many know that God says he makes the sun rise and he makes it set? It's his faithfulness. Amen. He is faithful. He is faithful to bring us the day. He is faithful to bring us the night. He is faithful to bring us the rain. He is faithful to bring us the snow. He is faithful to bring us our provision. He is just a faithful God. Amen. Amen. And, you know, sometimes when we're looking for a new thing from the Lord, we forget the last thing. Amen. And I know the Lord that I serve, and the God that we serve, he's looking for a grateful heart. Amen. Amen. He's looking for a grateful heart. In other words, when I come to him with an attitude of gratitude, and when I seek him with an attitude of gratitude, he can't help but enter into that. But when I seek him all the time as just being a needy soul, what do you say is what he usually asks me is, what you do with the last thing I told you to do? Amen? Are you with me? Amen? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, how many know that God knew exactly who he wanted to hear this today? Amen. Look at the one next to you and say, God called you here with a purpose and a plan to run with Carl at the park. No? Okay. Hallelujah. But in 1 Corinthians, I love the Apostle Paul in his letters to his students and to the churches. Because the Apostle Paul was such an encourager. Amen? How many know that we need to be encouraged? Amen? Amen? You know, it doesn't hurt sometimes to stop telling everybody what they're doing wrong and give them some thanksgiving for what they're doing right. Amen. Amen. You know, the Lord talked to me about that one day. He said, son, it's like eating a good sandwich. He says, you have a slice of bread, and then you put whatever your ingredients are, because your bread's okay, but what we're putting in the middle is what we're really what we really need in our body. And then we put it on the bread. He said the first slice of bread represents the positive. So anytime you're ministering to anyone, begin positively. And if you don't start, if you start going trying to correct someone and you don't open up with the positive first, your correction isn't going to be received. You start with a positive, and then you hit the meat of the matter, but you don't stop there. You end with a positive also. Amen. I don't know about you, in the negative world we live in, how many need to hear something positive? Come on. Come on. How many, you know, if we have some good news, we ought to be excited because it's good news. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 7, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Look to the one next to you and say, God is faithful. You know, so in closing today, what is the Lord saying to us? He is saying, doing well when facing hell, that as a child of God, there's going to be some suffering that you face. But if you surrender it to the Lord, he will sustain you. So in closing, that calls for us to submit to him, the submitting. You know, these are SUs today, SUs. I'm kind of funny. Corn's fun too, man. You've ever been in a corn maze? I've been in a corn maze. A corn amazing grace. Here's what James says in James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. God is speaking to us today as sometimes we're going to suffer for righteousness' sake. And as you're suffering for righteousness' sake, God says, surrender the battle to him. And he will sustain you when you submit it to him. And then he will supply. Philippians 4:19 says what? My God shall supply for all my need, according to what? Where? In glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. He is saying to you and I, when you're suffering, surrender, and he will sustain us. When we submit it to him, he will supply for all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I serve a God that if God, who created this universe and spoke it into existence, what makes you think that he can't supply for what you have a need for? Why do we put him in a little box? He's God that fills the universe. He's everywhere we go. I don't have to go looking for him. He is here. He is in this atmosphere today. He's called you and I for a time such as now. And he is saying for you and I to trust him with all of our hearts. Lean not to our own understanding. In all of our ways acknowledge him. And he will direct our paths. He will direct us. He will guide us. He will lead us. And the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know what we're going to do today? We're going to seal this word with communion. Hallelujah. So can you get up and let's gather around the altar. We're going to seal it with the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus.